and welcome to Guaranteed Irish Stories with me, your host, Breed O'Connell. On this show, we speak to trailblazers from Guaranteed Irish business community about how their businesses stay competitive in a global marketplace and about how they contribute to the local community and support Irish jobs. They tell us their story and they have some stories to tell.
Because I think sometimes we can kind of shy away from it, but it's a really difficult phase for women. The getting married, trying to get pregnant, getting pregnant, being pregnant, having the baby, having maternity leave, coming back, maybe having another. Like it's a tough window of time.
Yeah.
And for me,
well captured there, Gina. you're giving me a flashback there.
That PTSD.
Guaranteed Irish is a network of more than 2,000 homegrown and international businesses, and this year we are proudly celebrating our 50th anniversary. Our guest this week is Gina Laverty, CFO of Viatel Technology Group, and she's here to tell us the story of Viatel Technology Group and, of course, how she got there herself. Viatel is a cloud connectivity and IT services company with over 300 employees that has hubs in Blanchardstown, Dundalk and Limerick. This podcast is supported by FBD Insurance, which is Ireland's largest homegrown insurer. FBD also carries the Guaranteed Irish National Symbol of Trust for Business in Ireland. Gina, we're delighted to have you here. And I have so many questions for you on Viatel. So I brace yourself.
Let's do it.
Gina, Viatel Technology Group. Tell the listeners a little bit about that first, because that in itself is a huge story.
Yeah, sure. Viatel Technology Group has a long history as an Irish homegrown company. It started over 20 years ago in Dundalk by Colin Piercy. And it's evolved significantly over that time and really into its current form. We have three hubs across Ireland in Dundalk, Blanchardstown and Limerick. We have over 300 amazing team members and colleagues. And we are a cloud connectivity and digital services partner for our clients, predominantly on the island of Ireland. About 85% of our revenue is Irish based, but more and more international customers. And also we really enable our clients to go in, we'll go internationally with them. So we have some, you know, really nice Irish clients that have gone overseas and we've been able to support them on that journey. So yeah, Viatel has gone from strength to strength. We've done 8 acquisitions in the last 3 or 4 years.
I know.
We have many more on the horizon.
Every time I look at you on LinkedIn, there's so much more news and growth coming rapidly.
Yeah.
I want to go at and talk to you about that a little bit in a moment. But before that, I suppose I have to make the comment. Every time I deal with Viatel Technology Group, I see it and experience this whole open-mindedness to it, and there's a real freshness to it. How has that come about? I know you've an amazing CEO there as well.
Yeah, we really do. And I think it's for me, and I still feel like a newbie there.
Yeah.
I'm there almost 3 years, but it's the secret sauce is the people.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting mix of people who've been in DigiWeb and Viatel for 20 years. You know, we've got employee number 2 still with us.
Right.
We've got our chief commercial officer, started off as a junior salesperson, now he's our chief commercial officer. And then we have entrepreneurs that have come with the acquisitions and stayed with us. And then we have what I like to call the newbies like myself. So you bring all that together, you've got a lot of outside experience, international experience, founder, startup, you know, energetic, get it done characters, and then people who know the business inside out and care deeply about it. And all of that kind of cross-pollination of culture and ideas and remaining open to each other's approaches really gives us, I think, just so much momentum in everything we approach and in problems and challenges and opportunities. There's a real huge breadth of opinion and experience.
And so, freshness to it.
Yes.
I really like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Gina, tell me about yourself, because I'm fascinated by your own journey, because it's been really interesting and you're very humble and don't talk about it much. So I am putting you on the spot. How did you get to where you are today?
A series of twists and turns. When I look back, I've always been really interested in business, any business, you know.
Where did that come from, do you think?
So my family had their own business in Sligo. Growing up, my mum and dad ran a car dealership. I'm the oldest of 4 children. So, you know, maybe a typical oldest, asking a lot of questions, very nosy. What's happening? How does that work? What's going on?
Taking over, basically.
Yeah. Bossy, the only girl as well. So spoiled rotten. You know, I remember very early mum and dad explaining to me like how you make money in the car business. And it was a real nearly early lesson. Like you can be selling Mitsubishis and BMWs and everyone thinks that's very exciting, but you make no money off it until you sell the trade-in the person gave you, and then there's the money, and it's what you do with the trade-in that's where you make the money. And it probably has stuck with me as always really delving deeper. Brilliant. Like, how does that work? How can we make money? What's the right thing to do? Because that was a kind of an eye-opening moment. And I watched them work really hard. So, you know, probably that came early, is just sticking
hard
at something.
Hard work ethic is great,
The grit, you know. Yeah. But enjoying it too. You know, I think they always got a kick out of it. They had a great network across the car dealerships in Ireland. You know, great fun out of their staff and the opportunities it gave us as a family. Hard days and bad days. But as long as you're sort of enjoying it, just stick at it as well.
Oh, that's brilliant. And then did you go to study finance then? Or?
Yeah, I did business studies in college and then became an accountant. And that was probably a little bit to do again with watching mum and dad run their own business without any formal qualifications, probably. And there was always a wish to really understand something deeply and be able to get under the skin of it. And accountancy, I liked it, but it sort of, I thought, gave me the to really understand a business and ask the right questions and then add value back, you know, kind of simplifying things. Really, it's sort of what everyone's role is, if you like, in Viatel, is simplifying the myriad of IT opportunities and risks and challenges for our customers. I see that as my job internally, and then that's how we sort of approach the business as well.
So how did you come to Viatel then?
So I had been working in fintech, not directly technology like Viatel is, but I'd been in fintech for the previous 7 years in a wonderful company, Relex Payments, which was subsequently sold to Global Payments. And I stayed with Global Payments after the sale and really, really enjoyed that industry as well. And it's a lot of parallels to what we're doing in Viatel, where you're really starting to kind of wrap services and partner with your clients as they go on their journey. So it's not just simply like in Global Payments offering someone the ability to take credit cards, or in Viatel getting them connected, or you know, looking after their IT. You've really got to do more for clients now and partner with them as their needs are evolving. What more can you do? Because we look at Viatel services, they're so intertwined in enabling the business. So I was looking for an opportunity to become, you know, be part of a scaling Irish business, to be honest.
Oh, that's a nice story.
It really was. I was probably at a somewhat, I don't know, not a crossroads, but I'd had two gorgeous kids. I was back after my maternity leave. And there's a kind of a moment where you're like, right, am I sort of staying on this multinational journey that I'm been on and love? Or am I going to kind of do something a little bit different as I look out to the next phase?
And do you think that's the whole desire for that sense of purpose, having become a parent then? Is there a difference there?
Yeah, possibly. I think probably what it gave me was a sense of stability that I had my beautiful children and I'd had my maternity leave and that phase was over.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes we can kind of shy away from it, but it's a really difficult phase for women. The getting married, trying to get pregnant, getting pregnant, being pregnant, having the baby, having maternity leave, coming back, maybe having another. Like it's a tough window of time. Yeah. And for me...
Well captured there, Tina. you're giving me flashbacks there.
That PTSD. But so I think when I came back, I felt on very solid ground to make a change and take a risk, which I wouldn't have felt in the previous 6 or 7 years, possibly because you had a lot of personal stuff moving.
And I suppose maturity as well.
And great experience gained and really sort of translating that into having more an impact here rather than across a multinational.
So you joined Viatel and it wasn't the size it is now, which you've been very much part of that team to get it to the size it is now. What was the moment that you knew that business was the right business for you and it was going to work?
Honestly, the second I met the team, you know, and that's why I wanted the job and wanted to become part of the team. They had built an amazing business over the long term and then in the more shorter, more recent term had pivoted the business into something that was just set to go. I felt from kind of particularly meeting Paul Rellis, the CEO, meeting the shareholders, the majority shareholders as well, and then meeting the rest of the leadership team. It just all stacked up and the ingredients were there. It was ready to rock.
Just waiting for Gina.
Well, exactly. I was just like, please let me in. I can do this.
Isn't that a great testimony to the company? So in terms then, company's growing, it needs money. You're after going through a massive transition there just before Christmas. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was a huge, I mean, it was just before Christmas, but probably took most of last year.
Sure.
These things always take a lot longer than you think they will. But we'd had a huge amount of success organically, growing the business year to year, amazing new customers, launching new products and acquiring some amazing companies across the island as well. But we had definitely got to the stage where we wanted to really accelerate that pace a little bit more. And to do that, then we went fundraising, looking for new equity investment and new debt facilities.
Now, you came from a background there, didn't you?
Yeah. I spent 5 years in Macquarie, based in New York.
Right.
And I worked in their infrastructure funds. So I definitely had a background in, you know, sort of companies being acquired by funds, let's call it, and what it can do for the company, and how it can really change the game quite quickly. You know, it's not without its challenges as well, but it can really just take you up a notch. That's very hard to do, kind of scrimping and pulling bits together and here and there. It kind of just catapults you off in one shot, and you really go for it then. So yeah, we did a lot of work last year, you know, meeting potential investors, meeting banks, and figuring out what was the right solution for us too. Our majority shareholder and founders, Carissa, are incredibly supportive and really wanted to stay with us. The management team really bought in and set up to stay and succeed and lead the company. And so all that, culminated in Macquarie coming in and taking a minority stake in the company. And then through that association and that sort of new investment, we were able to access a lot more debt facilities. So all of that just really sets us off now to more acquisitions, international expansion, investment in the company in some strategic areas.
Global domination, here I come.
Why not?
Absolutely. Well, I'm delighted. And an Irish homegrown business.
Exactly.
What a fantastic success story. So in the midst of all that, there must have been some difficult times and difficult decisions had to be made. What was your most difficult period and how did you overcome it?
Yeah, so I mean, during that process, it's a bit of an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, I can imagine,
because you're changing the setup and the structure of the company at a sort of a fundamental level. So you want to be really careful that you do it right. Yeah, that was a sort of a burden, if you like, that we really managed. And we had great advisors and a really supportive board, and the team really rode in behind it. But you're pulling a lot of data, you're doing a lot of analysis, you're doing a lot of presentations, a lot of travel, and then the day job. Mm. And in a sense, it's a confidential process for a large part.
Of course, yeah.
So you're really trying to keep that from everybody. Somewhat easy to say now because it resulted in such a great outcome, but it was an amazing experience. Mm. And
again, a positive result.
Yeah, really positive. I think probably in the same time, one of the other big challenges in the last year, to be totally kind of frank about it, is integrating all these acquisitions.
Right.
Because it's all sort of nice and shiny press releases.
Yes, that's right.
Handshakes and high fives.
Yeah.
And then come Monday,
quite Instagrammable. And then everybody has to find a space,
exactly,
isn't it?
And sort of get to know it. And I think what happens, you've been deep in the deal with one or two people in the company that's being acquired. And then it gets announced to the wider employee base on both sides, the company that bought and the company that have sold. And it's quite a surprise slash shock, maybe.
Yes.
And some people, depending on sort of their background and their personality, are sort of, okay, no problem. And then other people really, really worry as to what and why.
Change is difficult for people,
Very and unknown. And so that's been a big challenge that we've worked really hard on. We've got some things right, we've got some things wrong, but we're always learning. Like each one is different. And you think you've got a playbook or a template, and then the next one is so different.
Throws it totally
off. You just got to start again.
And Gina, I often think about that because we would have lots of businesses in the Guaranteed Irish stable who acquire.
Yeah.
And trying to find, when you acquire a business, you also acquire its CEO usually.
Yeah.
And there's only one room, you know, a ship can only have one captain.
Yeah.
It must be tricky enough.
Yeah, I think it depends on what everybody wants.
Yes.
And probably what we've learned over the period is to have those fairly direct conversations as early
before.
As possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it can be challenging because the company that are selling are kind of in sales mode and, you know, just trying to show off a perfect picture that we all know behind you know, everybody scrambling to do the right thing as quick as they can. But really trying to spend some time with the CEO and the management team and understand what they want for the next year, 5 years, 10 years.
Yeah.
And honestly, at a company our scale, there's so much opportunity.
Yeah.
And, you know, we joke that it's not always the right thing to say, but there's just so much more work than people.
Yeah.
So there is space for everyone if you can figure out what people want.
Yeah.
And that would always be, you know, people are such an asset.
Oh,
you never want, you know, expertise and people and culture leaders and people that give stability to a business to walk out the door.
Yeah.
It's much more about finding a spot for someone where they can continue to add value and do their thing.
Now back to Viatel.
Quick fire round. Is there one thing that is often misunderstood about that business? Do people say Viatel? Oh, they're the broadband provider.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Can you fix my broadband?
Yeah. Can you, I was just going to ask you, is that the big question, isn't it?
Reboot. Just
yeah,
reboot.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I think Viatel has changed a lot over the years. You actually get a lot of mixed reactions in terms of a lot of people don't know it at all, like you probably find with the other Guaranteed Irish customers. B2B businesses just aren't
not household names
exactly.
Yeah.
So there's a degree of non-awareness, and then there's a our DigiWeb legacy, our amazing consumer business. Viatel was added in after that, so DigiWeb is sort of the oldest part of the business, and then Viatel came afterwards. So there's sometimes can be a bit of a, you know, consumer broadband, but not really. I think Viatel, the brand, has grown now by the extent of its customer base and its hubs around the country that it is more recognisable. I think what I would have misunderstood about the whole industry is how complex it is. Mm. You know, it's truly multifaceted, and your partners are your competitors, your suppliers. Like, there's such an interchangeably, like, we could be almost competing with someone for a customer and then the next day partnering with them to get the right solution in for a different customer because nobody can do it all end
to end. Gina, isn't that the importance of good relationships in business? And it really is about being honest, putting your cards on the table. And I see that in Viatel.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
really admire that. They, you know, they, what's good for the business is good for them.
Yeah. And it's good for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's even probably very much your ethos. Like, it lifts everyone.
Yes.
So we don't need to be sort of hunkered down in a silo competing with everyone from behind a bunker. We can get out there and we can all do something. You know, we can do it together, we can do it separately, but there's so much opportunity, particularly we're fortunate in the industry we're in, and the, you know, the economic conditions, they're challenging, but there's a lot of opportunity.
And as a person, I know you through the business. You're very generous. And I'm going to ask you for one piece of advice that you'd give to somebody who's just starting out in business. Just a little bit of wisdom there for somebody in a younger space, I suppose, than in your space as well as CFO.
Yeah.
And a female CFO. Not too many of you out there.
No. More and more, I think. I would say, like, if you really believe something, you should stick at it. And you'll always hear other opinions and other voices. But if you truly believe something, like, stick at it until you're maybe ready to change your mind. I would also add to that to never be afraid to change your mind. Mm. And I've even really learned that and seen that in action in Viatel's leadership team. Yeah. We're always ready to change our mind or be convinced, you know, be ready to, like, stick to your guns, but only until, like,
you've
you hear
disproved.
More, not for the sake of entrenching. And the other thing I'd probably say is listen to all the advice that you can, because you don't have to act on any of it. But the more you hear and get and different perspectives, it will even just help explain things later. You don't have to act on it, but you'd sort of get where people are coming from and why different things are happening or coming at you.
Words of wisdom there. So, Gina, in terms of yourself, and this is a two-part question, and Viatel, talk to me about what the future looks like for you.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, you mentioned our investment last year in December with Macquarie. So we're really looking growing our business as fast as we can. So we have a lot of strategic priorities around what we can sell to customers, what more our customers need. We have an amazing range of products now that we can supply more than one service to customers. So our goal would be to expand that breadth of services we are supplying to our current base and then really acquiring new logos. And then looking at our international expansion plan.
Brilliant.
And we're very two-pronged attacked on our own growth here in Ireland and also internationally. It has to be organic. Like, we have to have a business that's growing, expanding, continuing to be profitable and growing on its own merits.
Yes.
And then in parallel to that, we're really interested in adding in
more
appropriate acquisitions. So we look at every acquisition. What is it bringing? Is it capability? Is it customers? What's the reason to do it? And is it going to benefit our business and really bring more to the table?
And in terms of the breadth of services, because it has expanded so much, maybe remind us what they include.
Absolutely. So it's expanded again from, you know, what we've been able to develop ourselves and through acquisition. So really now we're that true IT services, digital services partner for any client that's going to go from cloud services, connectivity services, networking, IT managed services, and software development for custom applications that customers might need. So we can really support customers in whatever part of the journey they're on, be that simple kind of, you know, maybe entry level, migrating off on-premise solutions into the cloud, developing complex applications for them in the cloud, managing their whole IT services, multi-site connectivity.
Brilliant.
And then secure networking, like cybersecurity then wraps across all of that. You know, cybersecurity is no longer just sort of, you know, this box here off to the side.
Yeah.
It's a service and a product and an offering that we have that wraps across all of the stack, which is so important to customers now for peace of mind and managing threats.
Absolutely. It's fantastic. We all know now, Gina, that you learn more from your business failures than your successes. So tell us the story about your biggest failure that led to your greatest success.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think all your failures lead you to being better and then contribute to some of the big successes. Probably one really fascinating business failure that I was part of was when I actually worked for Macquarie Bank in the States, and we invested in a company that owned all the luggage trolleys in the airports.
All right.
Across a huge amount of the States. And financially, and an Excel spreadsheet, which obviously appeals to me, the whole business was just a no-brainer, because yeah. you have X amount of people coming through an airport with X amount of luggage, paying X amount per trolley, and the profit is Y. Like, it yeah. just couldn't have been a simpler business. There was no competition.
Yeah.
So what were people going to do otherwise? And it couldn't have been simpler. And we bought the business and we paid a lot of money for it. And within a matter of months, Samsonite launched the wheelie suitcase and the business was gone.
Oh, Gina.
It was insane. Like, yeah, it was such an eye-opener that, like, no matter how much you think you know about a business, because you're looking at it like this and you're like, yeah. this is the luggage trolley business for airports. Yeah. You have, like, the biggest competition was in a suitcase maker, because they were planning the four-wheel suitcase.
Yeah.
And I mean, now if you have to pay for a luggage trolley in an airport, you just don't.
Yeah.
And they're all free now yeah. if they are there, and you only use them now if you have children. Yeah. So it was just a real lesson.
On innovation.
And keep your head up, you know, up and looking around.
Yeah.
Because if you were just looking into what you're doing, someone else is doing something that's coming at you sideways
right.
that you never
yeah.
see. So that was fascinating. Like, that was a lot of brain power went into that decision to buy that business, and nobody saw it coming. So always asking the stupid questions.
Very good advice, Gina. Thank you so much for that. So look around corners.
Yeah, and up.
And up.
Always head up.
Gina Laverty, that's a great note to finish on. CFO of Viatel Technology Group. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to the show. This podcast is supported by FPD Insurance, which is Ireland's largest homegrown insurer. FPD also carries the Guaranteed Irish National Symbol of Trust for Business in Ireland. If you enjoyed the show, please follow, share, and leave a review of this podcast on the platform that you are listening to us on. By doing so, you are promoting businesses in Ireland that support jobs, community, and our economy. Guaranteed Irish is a network of more than 2,000 homegrown and international businesses, and this year we are proudly celebrating our 50th anniversary. If you feel your business can benefit from networking with like-minded businesses here in Ireland, contact guaranteedirish.ie for more information. In the meantime, take care, enjoy the rest of the week, and look out for the G.